Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Waikiki, Hawaii, and New York City in Manhattan, a big aloha and Big Apple welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver at CaregiverDave.com, along with my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg at TheCaregiverSpace.org. Say hello, Adrian.
Hello.
And we're coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 16 global and audio and video platforms, iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, Podcast, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, just a whole bunch more. And also at CaregiverDave.com and Facebook Live, hopefully, if they ever connect, because the internet here in my hotel is really bad. I'm next door to a Starbucks in the lobby. That's how bad it is. sitting on a trash can. But this is what we do to come to you live every single week, no matter how inconvenient or self-sacrificing it is. Adrian is over there in a sleet and a snowstorm in Manhattan, just trenching through the snow. But I think she's in her apartment now.
I'm in my apartment. I got back.
So she's safe. And we're very proud to have been voted number two best podcast out of the top six podcast for caregivers by caring.com. And we have an exciting interview planned for you today because it's me and it's Adrian. We had a guest, but they, because of the weather, their internet went down, and it was a very special guest, Michelle Green, who played Abby on LA Law. So we're going to bring that one to you another time when her internet comes back up. I feel so guilty and so jealous because I'm here in Hawaii. It's true, we did have our share of bad weather on Sunday, I think it was. There were 60-mile-an-hour winds right here at the Outrigger Reef Hotel in Waikiki. But there was no rain, and there was like 100-mile-an-hour winds on the north end of the island. But that's nothing compared to what all you guys are doing with the snow and the sleet and the hail and and the flooding. We did have some flooding on the north end, but everything was just fine here in Waikiki. Anyway, I want to take a moment and thank us for last week's show. It was Adrian and Dave who were talking about wisdom and my new book that's coming out, Dave's Hammock Wisdom, based on my video series. And today we're just going to do more wisdom because you can never get enough too much. I never get enough wisdom. Now, just a reminder,
we've got so much of it.
We do have so much, and we don't want to be selfish. We want to share our wisdom. So you can watch or listen to that interview and this one and all our interviews, actually, at caregiverdave.com or YouTube or any of our 16 global networks that I mentioned before. And, all right, I think it's enough of that. Let's get started. So welcome to the show, Adrian.
Thank you.
How's your week been over there?
Oh, well, between having to move and look for an apartment and being addicted to looking at floor plans and having meetings with estate planners and lawyers and realtors and, oh, it's just so much fun.
But you do have a parking spot. That's worth it all, right?
I have a parking spot, but I don't use my car very much in these months. I use it regularly in the summer, but not
And when
so
I come
much.
And visit you, you'll be driving me to a pizza place, and you can use it then, right?
Where?
I don't know.
What pizza place?
Greenwich Village. Wherever.
Oh, you want to go to
pizza all over New York.
John's Pizza in the Village.
There
Rick
you go.
Oven Pizza.
I went to one that was near NYU. That was a pretty good place. I can't remember the name of it, but I think it said best pizza in the world.
That's Ray's.
Must be. Yeah, Ray's. Yeah,
they did have good pizza. They had a wide variety. But enough about pizza.
There are about 2,500 Ray's original pizzas in New York. It's hard to tell which one is the original guy. No, everybody.
Oh, the original Ray's. I gotcha. Because everyone else is just a cheap imitation.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's why people
Other original Rays.
We're fun and entertaining and spontaneous and a little quirky and off balance. And that's why people voted us number two podcast of all of the caregiver podcasts. Any caregiver podcast is a good podcast, but I think we should be entertaining as well as informative. So I think that's what people like about us the most. So let's talk about some wisdom. I don't even remember which wisdom we spoke about last time, but I'm writing this book because I get wisdom on my hammock and I solve the world's problems. I pray, I meditate, I ponder. And when I get off the hammock, I've usually solved my problems and the world's problems. And I just thought one day, you know what? I am being so selfish by not sharing my wisdom with the world. So I started these five minutes of Dave's hammock wisdom. I've got over 100 now, averaging, I don't know, about one or two a week. And I'm not always on my hammock. Like here in Hawaii, I might be walking on the beach or might be in the pool or might be in the ocean. So it's kind of fun. Sorry about all the noise here in the lobby. These people don't realize I'm doing a radio show. Okay, that's good.
Can't hear it.
I guess I have the right kind of microphone that just picks me up.
Yeah, but you could lower it a little bit towards your mouth.
Lower it a little bit towards my mouth.
Yes.
How's that?
Better.
Well, it's about time you told me that.
Well, I was waiting for you to say something. Give me an in.
And oh yeah, because I talk so fast and I don't give anybody breathing room. But just feel free to interrupt me anytime that you want to or have to.
Okay.
So, then I decided that there is a need for. You know, I need to write another book because people want to hear from me, and it's been a couple of years since my last book. Wow, it's been a couple of years already. Amazing how time flies when you... That means I've been on a book tour for 2 years. How is that possible? No wonder I'm tired, traveling all over the place. So I just knew that the next book was supposed to be about Dave's hammock wisdom. Hey, guys, quiet back there. And... that way, people who aren't prone to go to YouTube and watch videos, they can actually read a book in their hands, and I'm sure it'll be another Amazon bestseller. So I keep changing the title and the subtitle, rather. So Dave's Hammock Wisdom, 99 Lessons That I Learned Laying on Canvas. I think that's going to be the one. How's it sound?
Is it a canvas hammock or is it a rope hammock?
It's both. It's whatever hammock I happen to be on. I have both.
How many do you have?
I have two at home. I just bought one here because I never have a hammock here. So I ordered it on Amazon. They delivered it a few days ago. And it's kind of a colorful coat of many colors as Joseph's coat of many colors. It's very colorful. And I'm going to go on the north end of the island in a few days with my moped that I'm going to rent. And I'm going to find two beautiful palm trees that are hammock, close to hammock proximity to each other. Mm-hmm. And a big long beach beforehand in the foreground and a beautiful turquoise shallow bay in the background, and I know I've seen those before, so I'm just got to find the right one. I'm going to string my hammock, and I'm going to get a tripod or actually pay a photographer to take a picture of me on the hammock so that, and that will be the cover of my book.
Cover the book.
Cover the book. Why not, huh?
Well, so, you need a location scout then if it's going to be the cover.
No, I know. I've been all over this island. Yeah, I've been coming here for 35 years, and so I've explored.
Whoa.
One time when I was exploring it, I ran across a very nice smell, so I took my moped in that direction, and it was this farm and these locals, and they were doing a barbecue, and they said, "Hey, aloha, come on over here, have some of what we're eating." And I didn't know what they were, but they were big ball type things, you know, and they smelled.
Yep, it was probably fried barbecued poi.
No. I'll tell you what it is in a moment, but they smelled and looked really good, and they didn't tell me what they were, but they let me eat them, and they were just delicious. And then they told me what they were. You see, once a year they castrate the bulls on the farm.
Ah!
And apparently it's a delicacy.
Yes, it is.
I think they call them Rocky Mountain oysters.
They do.
They castrate these bulls. And bulls have pretty big balls, or testicles is the proper term, and they barbecue them. And I don't know, it just didn't taste as good after they told me what it was, but it was an adventure. So I know what I'm looking for, and I know where approximately it is, so it'll take me maybe an hour or two to find it. So let's go over.
Maybe it's the time of year they castrate the bulls again.
Oh, yeah. You never know. I should Google what time of the year do they castrate bulls on Hawaii, and I might just get lucky again. Wouldn't that be fun? Because, you know, I envied Anthony Bourdain, not because he died, but because he's good looking.
Yeah, yeah.
He's elderly. He has a great head of hair. And every time you turn on CNN, my God, the guy's in some foreign country eating some exotic food. And I am so jealous because, I mean, I could be him. Maybe I could be the next Anthony Bourdain going all across the world finding the bull's balls. Anyway, let's talk about some wisdom. And I'm just going down the list here because I got 99. I was going to do 100, but my publisher friend says
100.
It's got to be 99.
Right.
Either 30,
or
101. 60, or 90,
or 101.
Excuse me. Yeah. Did I just burp on the air? I am so sorry. So let me give you some of these 99 titles, and maybe we'll talk about some of them. Obviously, we won't get to all of them, or even close. But here's one title. How is being caught in the rain like life? And let me just throw that out to you, Adrian, because you're caught. I mean, that could easily say, how can being caught in the rain or snow or sleet be like life? So give me some analogies of what you would think, and I'll tell you if you're on the right page.
Well, it's being caught in the rain. If you're unprepared.
Yeah.
It's unexpected. It happens fast.
Yeah.
The problems occur if you're not prepared for it. I have to wear a hat so that I can, my glasses don't get wet. I don't mind getting wet. I just mind not being able to see. Getting caught in the rain, did you say like caregiving or like life?
Both, caregiving and life, because believe it or not, everything that I tell caregivers, everything that you tell caregivers, I mean, when you think about it, it's great advice for life. I know people who aren't caregivers.
Of course it is.
Yeah, who need to follow the caregiver advice. That's why,
absolutely.
You know, any caregiver book would be great for anybody. Because not only are you going to be a caregiver one day or need a caregiver or become a caregiver, but chances are you have boundary issues anyway in your life, even if you're not a caregiver. Chances are you've got family members who are crossing boundaries that you never implemented, so it's your fault that you're having problems and so on. I mean, the list is endless. But how I wrote this one, this is a very recent one, because here in Hawaii, you know, you can have a beautiful day and all of a sudden it starts pouring on you.
A downpour.
And then in 10 minutes, it's sunny again.
Beautiful,
so, you know, just these clouds just moving in. And so that's what happened to me like about 5 days ago. My wife wanted me to go to this pastrami place and get her favorite pastrami sandwich. And it's about a 5 or 10 minute walk. So I had the dog with me. And all of a sudden, I mean, I brought umbrellas. I even had...
So you were prepared.
Well, no, they were in the room.
You said you had umbrellas. Okay.
I had umbrellas in the room.
In the
I brought
room.
Them on the trip. So I go out. It's a beautiful day. I just wearing this thin little thing. And all of a sudden, it's getting chilly. And I said, well, what's the, you know, I see this cloud front moving in. Then it starts raining. Then it starts pouring. And I'm getting wet. No umbrella.
Soaked.
My dog is getting wet with his little service dog vest. It's getting wet. And he's like shivering. And so I stop at an ABC store, which is a little, there's 100 of them over here. Mm-hmm. And I spend $6 or $7 for an umbrella. And so, okay, now I got another umbrella, as if I don't have enough. But I wasn't prepared. Now, I had everything I needed in my hotel room.
Right.
A little jacket, a hat, an umbrella, everything I needed. So I was prepared, but apparently I wasn't, because you got to be prepared in the moment, right?
Well, you see, that's why I carry such a large handbag. Everything is
everything
in my handbag. And everybody counts on me to have everything in my handbag, from triple antibiotic ointment to cortisone cream to Band-Aids to scissors. They know that I'm always prepared.
Must have
and
been a good Girl Scout.
It's a great burden. and my shoulder is the worst for it. But
well, somebody's got to do it. How much does your bag weigh? How much does your bag weigh?
15 pounds.
My gosh. Wow.
Because I've also got... a notebook in it and an iPad and a telephone and change and money and it weighs.
So how's being caught in a rainstorm like caregiving? Well, sometimes caregivers are thrust into a situation. Let's say all of a sudden their loved one becomes incontinent and there's only one thing that they hate doing in the world, and that's changing diapers. And now all of a sudden they're thrust into this situation. Oh, my God, you know, how am I going to change mom's or dad's diaper? And I just don't do that. I never did it with my kids. I always had my wife do it. And so there's a situation. Like, how do you – hello, go ahead and use that trash can. That's right. Aloha. God bless you. Adrian, you're sitting on a trash can, so this is a very popular spot.
Yeah.
People see me talking to the trash can, and they say, oh, should I interrupt him? Should I come? Dare I approach him? So some other things that caregivers might not be prepared for is the fact that, I can speak for myself. When my wife had a stroke, and I didn't realize that my relationship as a husband and a wife was going to change. That now I wasn't wearing the husband hat. I was most of the time wearing the caregiver hat or the roommate hat. And it's like it's hard to be intimate when your wife is
right.
disabled and you're like in charge and you're telling her things that she would normally get upset. Well, because you don't have.
Especially at the beginning.
Yeah. Because, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. Your wife doesn't respect you as a person to tell her, you know, that maybe you're not I'm not going to say that because she'll get mad at me. But let me think of something that she won't get mad of. That, you know, giving her personal hygiene
I'm
advice.
I'm not going to say anything.
That, you know, it's not my place to tell her how to do certain things because, and I don't want to tell her how to do certain things, but I'm noticing that, you know, maybe you need to do things this way in this area. And she'll give me this look like,
yeah.
Who do you think you are telling me
right.
that? You know, it's like, what do you do? I mean, I'm the caregiver. I mean, if I was a stranger, I could get away with it, but I'm her husband, so I can't get away with it. So that's some of the problems with that. Let me give you another one. Like, I don't know if I went over some of these. Let me go down the list because maybe I did on the last show and I don't want to repeat myself. My memory is so great, but here, attitude is everything. Now, that's a good word of wisdom because, gosh, you know.
You can plow through almost anything if you've got the right attitude.
Yeah. Is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? I know people who all the time, all they can do is find what's wrong in a place. You know, you come into the hotel room, which is a beautiful, beautiful room, and they're looking, and, oh, the wallpaper's peeling up there. Oh, look at that. There's a scratch on the cabinet. Oh, man, look at, they forgot to clean, you know, underneath the back of the toilet. And I says, really? This is a suite. How can you find all of these bad things wrong with this room? And I guess it's nice to have them around if you are troubleshooting a project for a major corporation, right? But when you're on vacation, and I'm not talking about anyone in particular, I just know people, and that's what they would do. Mm-hmm. They're usually hypochondriacs. Everything's wrong with them. They've Googled every disease in the book, and they've got 90% of them. And I mean, do you know people like that?
Absolutely. And one thing you should never do is Google your symptoms because you'll have everything that's on WebMD.
And never read the prescription that you get, what the side effects are, because they're that long.
No.
And no matter what the drug is, it's like they just copy that and they put it on every single drug. Every single drug that you take, whether it's an aspirin, will cause death, suicide, depression, you name it, it's going to cause it. And I mean, come on, really?
If you're going to be on a drug for any length of time, you should know the side effects. But if you're on an antibiotic for a week, you know, for 10 days, a cycle, whatever, it's different. You know, yeah. But if you're on a drug for a long time, you should know what the side effects are going to be. Because
that's
if you
so
start
true.
To experience something, you shouldn't think it's you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a good time. I don't know if we started on time, but I think it's time for a break. Would you agree?
You're all pixelated again.
Oh, no.
Oh,
good time
that's
for a break.
Better.
Okay,
yeah,
let's take a break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
We are a community of caregivers that understands and supports you wherever you are in your journey. We are a place to connect with other caregivers, but more importantly, a place to get practical, actionable help. There are lots of ways for you to get support. First of all, you can download our welcome pack. This will get you started on your Thrive journey. Next, you can ask and get answers to your questions by posting them here in our private Facebook groups. You can also get live online support by attending one of our live weekly Connect webinars. You can get practical, actionable advice by listening to our weekly podcast. You can hear and read other stories about other caregivers' experiences. Plus, add your own in our weekly Share Your Story forum, posted every Tuesday in the Facebook group. You can access essential resources and download practical Thrive Solutions packs, all of which are geared to help you thrive as a caregiver. You get lifetime access to all of our resources. Again, we are here to support you and help you thrive and to enjoy your life as a caregiver. And remember, this is a place to get hope, not just cope.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and me, Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver. And we're talking about wisdom and my new book, Dave's Hammock Wisdom. And I think another one here is don't isolate yourself. So talk about, and this isn't just for caregivers. Like I know people who are introverts. Believe it or not, I used to be an introvert. I know that's hard to believe. But I had a cousin when I was a teenager who came from New York. We both came from Brooklyn. I came early on when I was six. He came when he was like in high school. So he's this suave, debonair Casanova guy. He got all the girls, even more girls than his older brother, who was jealous because, oh my God, I'm 2 years older than him. He's getting all the girls. And so And I was jealous of him. Who wouldn't be? And so I'm watching him. I'm observing him, how he can just walk up to total strangers, walk up to gorgeous girls who I would be so insecure to talk to. And, you know, he was good looking, but, you know, he wasn't like Fabian or something, you know. But I've learned that personality is so much more important than good looks, because if you're not particularly a great looking person, I mean, a decent looking person, I'm not talking about being ugly or anything, but girls love guys who have a personality or are,
but
you know,
it's also aggressive. Confidence.
That's what it is. It's confidence.
Not
it's
just the personality. The personality can come out in an introvert once you get to know them. But,
right, when they become themselves.
But that drive to just go up to somebody comes with that kind of confidence.
And it's the body language. It's how you carry yourself, how you walk, how you look, how you move your hands. You just like... you're in control of your body. You know, just like I read this book when I was a teenager because somebody told me it would help my insecurities. It was called Psycho-Cybernetics, and it was about this plastic surgeon who couldn't believe these beautiful-looking people who wanted a nose job or thought their ears were too good.
They thought they were imperfect.
And it's like, he says, why? You're gorgeous just the way you are. No. And they had this self-image in their head that was ugly. And they thought that if they did surgery on their face, so he learned, you know, why don't you do plastic surgery on your self-image? Imagine in your mind, he wrote this whole book about it, and it really helped me. He says, imagine this big movie screen and picture the most coolest movie star that you wanted to be. And in those days, I wanted to be like Cary Grant or David Niven. Nobody knows who they are today. But I would imagine them just moving across the street, or Frank Sinatra, you know, in the Rat Pack, just being cool and then see your face on that screen. And so I did that.
Rat Pack cool was a whole other cool.
And no one has been able to duplicate that cool. It was so cool, you know? And it's the kind of cool that will never go out of style. So I would see myself, and that really helped. So, and I found myself as I was walking, I felt like Cary Grant. I felt like David Niven. I felt like, because I saw the image in my mind, and I was just imitating that. And so, and I saw that's what my cousin did. He just exuded confidence and exuded control over his body language. And so I learned how to be extroverted. Now, that didn't mean I'm an extrovert. I'm still an introvert. I can still go to a party, and my natural tendency is to go find some corner of the room where it's quiet and I don't have to talk to people. And I have to force myself. It takes a lot of energy to be an extrovert when you're not an extrovert.
Absolutely.
But I've learned in business, this is what you have to do. And as a speaker, this is what you have to do. As someone who has become a celebrity because I speak so many places and I've been on television so much. And, you know, there's still inside of me, I'm still Mr. Insecure David. So, you know, who am I to do that? And I gotta like beat that guy down with a stick because he keeps raising his head.
Who made you that way, do you think?
Oh, when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, just after I hit puberty, and all my friends, before that, life was great. But after that, all my friends became cool. You know, they're starting to look at girls, and I wasn't looking at girls yet. I was still playing with toys, and I still looked like a kid, a baby, you know. I hadn't developed into that young man yet, and I just felt so insecure, and they would start making fun of me, and I guess today you would call it bullying. You know, not really being beat up or anything like that, but just, you know, say things that hurt. Sticks and stones will break your bones. Words will never hurt you.
Yeah,
words
hurt
more than sticks and stones. Sticks and stones will heal, you know, and they may leave a scar, but words, you know, once a word is out there, you can never take it back.
You hear it. It's in your head.
You know, even the Bible says that the tongue is like a fire, a spark that sets a field ablaze. How can you take it back? Or the tiller of a ship, such a little tiny thing can turn this big, massive tanker in any direction. That's kind of like how the tongue is. So I think that's when it started. I had this inferiority complex as a post-puberty teen.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I was 17 and found out that the head varsity cheerleader liked me. And all of a sudden, I just, you know.
Life was good.
And I spoke to her. And later on, I asked her, why in the world would you like me, some goofy, dorky kid, you know, who wasn't cool and wasn't a football player? And she says, well, you know, I went out with all the cool guys. I went out with all the jocks. And they're all a-holes. And I thought they'd try something else.
They were full of themselves.
All they want to do is get in her pants, which kind of what every boy wants to do. But, you know, if you're a nice guy, you're not aggressive about it and you're not forceful about it. And, you know, there's so many rapes going on in college and even in high school these days.
High school.
And girls, I can't believe how many girls would come on to me as a teenager, and they would let me just do anything I wanted to them. And there was something inside my head that says, oh, my God, do you have a mother? Does she know? Did she teach you how to do this? You know, and yet, you know, it's like what they call it when you have a conflict of interest. You know, you're a boy with lots of hormones and you want to do things with a girl. But then that parent in your head.
The girl has hormones, too.
Really? See, I never realized that. Because it's always the guys who are trying to. A guy would have sex just like that, but a girl is, you know.
We're starting to experiment.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the 60s and the 70s. Things were different back then because the, you know, the Beatles had just come
out. The 60s.
Well, this was. You know, yeah, all that stuff was going on in Vietnam and the sex revolution and love revolution, but it hadn't hit Burbank yet.
No, okay.
You know, so, you know, all these small communities, remember laughing, beautiful downtown Burbank. You know, Burbank was kind of a backward place. And so it took a while for us to get sophisticated. Now Burbank is sophisticated. Anyway, I lost my... Oh, yeah, you asked me how did I get that way. So the point is, even though you can learn how to be an extrovert, and everybody should learn how to turn it on, turn it off, because there are times when you need to rise to the occasion. You need to walk up to that stranger who might be a very influential person who can help your career, or maybe they need help and they don't know that you can help them. And you need to just... What do they say? Put your big boy pants on and suck it up and just do it, you know, and practice doing it. And, you know, don't just be the observer in the room. Walk up and say, hey, my name is Dave. What's your name? That wasn't hard, was it?
The man who was chairman of the board for the caregiver space was not a handsome man. He has since passed away, sadly. Too soon, but he would walk into a room and automatically have his hand out. Hi, I'm so-and-so. How are you?
Yeah.
And I envied him. I just, I hear myself doing it all. I prepare myself. I rehearse it. I want to do it all the time. Hi! You know, but... going into the room with his hand out, you know. Hi.
Are you able to do that?
No.
You're not able to imitate him even in your mind?
No.
Why?
He was one of he was definitely my wealthiest friend. I mean, he had done extremely well in his life.
Is that gift of gab?
It was a gift. This is a little kid who went door to door in Brooklyn when his father lost his job. and knocked on everybody's door and said, my dad just lost his job. If you know anybody who needs someone. And wow. He had that ability at like the age of 8 to do
wow.
it. He was amazing. Amazing. Well, some people so got you said, it.
You're from New York, Adrian. You should be able to do this. And I'm sure you've overcome a lot of that.
I just need to role play.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're an actress. You're playing a part.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's your character. Just do it. And you can do it, right?
Well, I mean, no one believes I'm shy or introverted or, you know, and not an extrovert. I mean, everyone thinks that I'm just me, you know. No, you got to get to know me before I'm out there.
I wonder what percentage of the population really are introverts pretending to be extroverts. I bet it's higher than we think.
A lot.
Maybe it's like 80%. Who knows?
It's a lot.
Right? We all have our masks. We're all pretending. Pretenders. Somebody wrote a book about pretenders. I don't remember what it was about. Oh, it was about pretending.
I mean, my father... was a salesman have this ability to put themselves out there to sell something. Not all salesmen are naturally extroverted.
Right.
A lot of them, it's easier to sell a product than it is to sell yourself.
That's true.
So if you believe in that product or you've got the spiel down to sell that product, then you've got the game won. But I used to have to go out and sell myself, as an actor has to go out and sell himself. I was an artist. I would carry my work around with me. So I was looking to sell somebody else's, somebody else's product, but I had to sell myself to prove that I could sell their product. So it was interesting. I was able to do that.
So why would a caregiver want to be extroverted when they're not normally? How would that benefit a caregiver?
Well, I used it in hospitals all the time.
Dealing with doctors and administrators.
Dealing with doctors and the people on the floor and taking control and letting them know that that I was a presence, that I was there. I was not a shrinking violet in the hospitals. they knew. Well, first of all, I was staying there constantly. I slept there. But other than that, I didn't have to go to the nurse's station if I needed something. They gave me the combination to the room that had the linens and that had the water and that had the refrigerator. And they knew that they could trust me, that I was a go-getter, that I could get things done. And that, for me, was extroverted, being...
Yeah.
Not being submissive to them, because they're usually trying to push themselves on you and tell you what to do, But it helps in getting things done when you have all these phone calls to make to insurance companies and phone calls to make to pharmacies. And you need things and you need them fast. And you need to assert yourself. That's when being an extrovert comes in handy. And being able to just go inside and get that happens.
I agree. And there's other reasons as well. And but let's take a break and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dave Nassani, the Caregiver's Caregiver, has just released his sixth book, entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996.
He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's my life too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver. On sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com. And we're back with Adrian Gruberg of the caregiverspace.org and me, Dave Nassani, caregiverdave.com. And we're talking about wisdom. And another piece of wisdom that I wrote about is just had it in my mind. It's disappeared.
Do one thing every day that scares you.
That's a good one. I think I'll write one on that one. Boy, my memory just scares me sometimes. I got it written down here. Oh, enjoy the little moments of life.
Absolutely.
That sounds like, right? We enjoy the big moments, but what about the little moments? We enjoy the destination, but how about the journey to the destination? Because really, life is a journey, right? Wherever it is we're going, even if we're going to the grave, it's a journey to the grave.
Which
it's a journey
we are.
To our career.
Eventually, we all are.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is so important, especially for caregivers and non-caregivers, to just enjoy the little moments. Like, you know, trying to get a place to do this show was a challenge. I had to pack all my things up under my arm from my hotel room, come down here into Starbucks, find out there was no plug. Then I had to pack it up again, go into the lobby, find a plug, but the internet wasn't the greatest. Then I had to pack it up again, find a trash can, and here I am.
You know,
I think I was smiling during the whole process. I wasn't losing my temper. I wasn't being pissed off. I wasn't, you know, kicking the dog who's right here with me. In the gas station business, you see so many things because you just get the public coming in and you get them at their worst and their best, the good, bad, and the ugly. And, you know, somebody will yell at somebody because they had a fight with their wife when they left the house. And then they kick the dog on the way out and they slam doors. And it's like it's a domino effect, you know.
Of course.
You got to stop that process. If you can enjoy the funny little things in life, there are so many lessons to learn just in problems, in challenges, in difficulties. Have you got a story for me before I tell mine?
No, go ahead.
Enjoying the journey. You know, there are some of the greatest things I've learned, some of the best people I've met who become friends have happened by accident. It's when I never expected anything to happen. It's when I was just, the plane was late and I had to, like, sit for an extra 2 minutes or I missed a plane or the taxi didn't come on time and I'm talking to somebody who's sitting there and it turns out they're a caregiver. I mean, you know, the stories are just endless of the blessings that happen. And if you're all upset and if you're all tense and if you're all stressed, you're going to miss these opportunities. You know, opportunity knocks, and many people can't hear it because they're not tuned in. They're not in the right radio frequency. And God in the Bible says that he speaks in a still, small voice. I mean, you really have to strain to listen to God's voice. Because he is not interested in yelling and shouting with a megaphone. He wants people who are really kind of tuned in to that voice. And even people who are not religious will meditate and they'll listen to the universe and they'll listen to their body. You know, they'll breathe in, they'll breathe out,
they'll spiritual.
Listen to that. Yeah.
I mean, I'm spiritual. I'm I'm observant. I'm just not religious.
Yeah, and there's so many distractions in life. I mean, even right here, you know, I can hear people talking in the background, but
right?
I can hear birds chirping. I can hear a lot of birds just walking on the pavement, looking for scraps mm-hmm. that somebody might have left. You know, I can see the sunshine. I can see the clouds making shadows as they move. There are just so many things. And if I was really quiet, I can hear myself breathing. You know?
Of course.
I can hear my heart beating.
And then you would start to meditate when you start to listen to these.
And who would know? Who knows what would happen to the show at that point? You'd have to take over.
No, I just know that when I'm on Fire Island and I'm taking long walks or riding the bicycle, I mean, it's not a huge place, but I'm always noticing new things. Just like in New York, I'm walking down the street and I'll look up and I'll notice something that I never noticed before. On a very old building that's been there long before I was here.
Yeah.
But I start to notice things. And now maybe that's the artist in me that's always looking, but it keeps me grounded and it keeps me present and mindful. And
call yourself an artist. Do you paint or draw also, sketch?
I supported myself that was my business. I was...
Really?
Yeah.
So where are all your paintings and drawings and etchings today? Are they in your garage?
I didn't paint and draw and etch. That I do now.
Oh, the business. You mean, well, when you say it was your business.
I was a graphic designer with an advertising, boutique advertising agency for the fashion trade.
Wow. So you would make up ads that people would
I would market people.
Wow.
I would market people.
That's a great industry to be in. And there's so many other industries that you can hop into from that industry, which obviously you have.
Yeah, you use it.
Yeah.
If you don't use it, you lose it, right?
I took an art class when I was in my first year of college because I needed electives, and that sounded like an easy one. And I was amazed at what a good artist I am. People in the class were saying, wow, you're good. And I says, really? You know?
Well, I mean, I know I... When you say pay attention to the little things, sometimes you can pay too much attention to the details and not be free enough. So it's got to be a combination of letting yourself be loose and free and not be worried to make a fool of yourself, because you know you're going to make a mistake sometimes.
Yeah.
And paying attention to the small stuff at the same time. It's a hard mix.
Yeah, that's why they have different styles of drawings and stuff. Ink drawings where you're using this really, really fine fountain pen almost, and every single line,
it's not even a fountain pen. It's a 0.6 millimeter. It's a tiny, tiny. It's called a rapidograph.
Yeah, I've done it. I just didn't remember what it was.
It's a rapidograph. And to keep those points working, because they're so fine, and you have to use the right ink in them, it's not easy.
And then the other end of the spectrum, the watercolors, where you can't get fine and detailed even if you tried. Everything is just... a blur
watercolors are incredibly difficult to really master, and I never cared to. I mean, that's not my medium. I do collage and construction and I paint and draw. But I don't do watercolor.
I took a watercolor class when my dementia mother wanted to take one. I don't know if she wanted to take one, but people thought it would be good if she took one at the senior center. So of course I'm there with her, so I'm learning too, and I was amazed at how good I was at watercolors, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know, I helped her and because she had a little trouble with the colors, I says, "No, the sky isn't brown, the sky is blue." You know, little things like that. But some of those watercolors she did are pretty good, and some of the ones I did are pretty good. I got them somewhere. And I think if I wanted to have a career in painting, who knows? I might have been a good painter and might have been able to sell them. Who knows?
That's not where your life took you.
You know, I'm multifaceted. I think I could do a lot of different things, but even Donald Trump says, find one thing that you're passionate about and do that. And if you do too many things, you're going to be the jack of all trades and master of none. And it's kind of true. You know, I was an auto mechanic. I was doing all sorts of things. But I'm not even sure what I do now, but I try to do one thing at a time.
Well, I'm a chief cook and bottle washer.
Yeah. It's a curse being so talented because when something breaks around the house, I can fix it.
And, I'm the one that always fixed it.
But I shouldn't fix it anymore because you need power tools. And remember, I cut my thumb off almost.
Yes.
And even the guy in the ER room, when I came back the second time because I was doing something, I got hit in the head and needed stitches. He says, you know what? You really should pay people to do things. I know you think you can do them, and maybe you could do them at one time, but maybe you should stop doing them.
One thing that Steve told me before he died. He said, ask for help.
Yeah,
don't be
so
afraid
hard for a caregiver to ask for help, isn't it?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Now, as a caregiver, when you're under the impression that you're the only one that can take care of that person, and they've got you convinced of that because they don't want anybody else taking care of them, you learn to do everything that needs to be done.
I learned that adequate is good enough.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when I was changing his dressings on his wound on his stomach, you know, adequate was not good enough. It had to be perfect. Damn. So you've got to be able to know when to be the perfectionist and know when adequate is enough. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're cooking, adequate is good enough.
Yeah, because people can always add salt and pepper.
Yeah, and then they'll appreciate you more when you come back, you know, and you're taking a break. He said, oh, he didn't know how to make coffee. Oh, he would make the eggs runny. And I said, well, I guess you have a more better appreciation for me, don't you? I don't have that problem with my wife because she is a gourmet cook and she still continues to cook. I don't know how
By
she does
the way, it. The pictures of Charlene in Hawaii, she looks so happy.
This
really
is her favorite
looks
place.
Very happy.
This is her favorite place. And so I decided, you know, I don't know how much longer she can travel at 74 years old in a wheelchair and all of that stuff. And I don't know how long I can travel because, you know, I have got aches and pains. And there was a time that I couldn't even walk because my back went out. I needed back surgery and somehow God healed it. But tomorrow's not promised. I mean, on August 31st, 1996, Charlene did not know that she would be speaking her last and walking her last when she went to bed that night.
Of course.
So I'm just figure, you know, I'm kind of a cheapskate, but I decided, you know what, I'm 65 years old. How many more years have I got? How many more years do I want? I don't want to live to be 90 or 85 or maybe even 80 because I see a lot of people in their late 70s, early 80s who are not in good shape. And part of me doesn't want to eat very healthy because that means I might live to be a long age. So there's a balance. You want to be healthy enough where you can enjoy your sunset years, but not too healthy where you outlive your kids. You know?
I'm not limiting myself. I'm being careful. I'm taking very good care of myself.
How old are you?
Huh?
How old are you again? I keep forgetting.
70.
Yeah, you don't look it.
I know.
You're 4 years younger than my wife. You both look great. And you're both active. I mean, you know, she's in a wheelchair, of course, but the stamina she has, the stamina and the desire to do things and go shopping and cook and go to the store and buy all these ingredients. I mean, that takes drive, even if you're in a wheelchair.
Especially if you're in a wheelchair.
Yeah, a lot of people get clean.
A lot of people get really lazy.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people really get lazy. But let
maybe they're not a couch potato. They're a wheelchair potato.
Yes, exactly.
There is such a thing.
No, well, but she's special.
Thank you.
So you're watching her on Facebook? Is that where you're watching?
Yeah.
Yeah. I forget you're on Facebook.
Everybody's on. Well,
not
I know
everybody's on Facebook.
I know some people now who were taking themselves off Facebook.
And why is that? Addicting?
Addictive. It's the privacy, the privacy mixed in with the addiction, and they know that they could be doing more things with their life if they didn't.
It's true.
Just sit in front of the computer all day long. And
it's true. Do you watch a lot of movies?
Me?
Did you see that movie with Tom Hanks, The Circle, which was a mockery of Facebook?
No, I didn't see that one.
You should rent it or look for it on Netflix.
For it on demand.
Yeah. He was the So that's what these companies remind me of. They've got all this information on it. They could destroy any one of us if we gave them a reason to. And nobody would know anything about it because they would know
how to bury it. I haven't given them enough information to destroy me. I don't think there's...
Don't be surprised.
I can't think of anything I've ever done that anyone would want to destroy me for.
It doesn't matter why they would want to destroy you. If they wanted to destroy you for whatever reason, they could.
Well, yeah, they would know where to come and get me, but...
They would know where your weak points are, and I don't have a lot to hide. My life's an open book, but...
But when Facebook starts making suggestions about what you might want to buy, you know, in your little ads that come up that are
like
tailored
Amazon's.
To you.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to believe, but I'm sure we've come to the end of our hour. I haven't been keeping track. I know we didn't start on time. So let's just say our goodbyes and tell everybody again how they can contact the Caregiver Space and Adrienne Gruberg.
Well, it's Adrienne, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the website is thecaregiverspace.org. And once you're there, you've got all the social media links. So we've got
Facebook
a lot of communities.
And name.
Huh?
Facebook
page
is the same
is the Caregiver Space.
And
lots of good groups.
And my Facebook page is Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. With an apostrophe S. I don't know if you need it or not. I don't know how smart Facebook is. And my website, caregiverdave.com, which kind of takes you to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver.com.
Exactly.
But that's such a long one. I like caregiverdave.com. So check us out. We have free gifts there. A copy of my first book about overcoming unbelievable hardships. A burnout quiz to find out if you are really a candidate for burnout. If you don't already know that. And it's a membership website, so if you join for a small lifetime fee, you get all my content, years and years and years worth of content that would take you days and maybe weeks to find on the internet by yourself, and we stick it in one place. So God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.